Yes, you are at home, but you still deserve a welcome, Karen. So it's been lovely working together with Karen for this service. We're sharing roles, so we're going to be backwards and forwards quite a bit this morning. Let us pray. Before we pray, I just would like to say this, actually. In Lectio 365 this week, I heard someone say that all of prayer can be summed up in three words. Wow, help, thanks. I thought that was pretty good. However, I would add a fourth one. Sorry. They forgot that one. Very important. So let us have our prayers of adoration now. Wow, Father God, we are in awe of your majesty. You are holy, worthy of all praise, awesome, amazing. We could use all the words we can think of, and still they would not be enough to describe your greatness. You are the creator of all things. We give you glory and praise your holy name. We have come to worship you, to give you thanks and praise for all you have done for us. We have come to sing our hymns and songs, to offer our prayers, and to hear your word. Amen. We now receive the offering. Lord, we give you thanks for these gifts of money and for the givers and for those who've given online. And we give you thanks for the gifts of time and talents, all for your glory, Father. We ask your blessing in Jesus' name. Amen.
We decided we were going to sit down here because we thought there was just going to be a few of us. But if you can't see me, I can actually go up a step. I'll go up in the world, shall I? Right. As Diane said, the theme for All Together Worship this year is prayer. And today we're thinking about powerful prayer. And I thought a good way of introducing this is to say, well, to ask the question, why pray? Well, in my last appointment in Lancashire, thank you, Brenda. The first one, please. Introduction. I had a church called Bamber Bridge, and attached to that church was a Methodist Anglican primary school called Cuerden Church School, of which I was chaplain. And the next one, please. And this is it. And the school is the low building going off to the right, and then it goes round in a huge curve with the sort of children's entrances and everything at the back. Well, the head teacher, next one, please, Nicola Sherry, was absolutely superb. She believed in the power of prayer and prayed like mad. And all of you know I was in education before, and I travelled around loads of schools and everything else, and I have never come across a school like hers. You walk in and you feel the peace. It's just so powerful. You actually feel the peace. The children come from very poor backgrounds, and they are just so happy, and they're so loved, and it is just wonderful to see. And she encourages the children to ask questions, to explore their faith, and she nurtures them in it. And she's got a long-standing staff that don't want to move on. I wonder why, because she cares for the staff as much as she cares for the children. And she is a powerful example of prayer. Well, as she gets them to explore their faith, of course they ask lots of questions, and often they save some tricky ones for the chaplain, which was me. And during lockdown, the school remained open for obviously key workers' children, and I did a weekly assembly by Zoom. Very difficult trying to engage reception children to year six when you feel like you're talking to a screen, but anyway, you learn to adapt. So I used to send it in weekly, and it would go, they'd play it to the children in the school, but unbeknown to me, I didn't know at the time, they sent it on their school email system to all the children at home who had their parents or carers or grandparents who actually all watched them anyway. And then they asked me a question, and would I answer it on Zoom? Why do I pray? So I sat there one night and I thought, okay, and I just went for it. And I recorded it and sent it off. And I actually thought it might be helpful for you to hear why I pray to help you think about why do you pray? Thank you, Brenda.
Hello, everyone. Well, what a good question you asked. Why do I pray? Well, I guess I'd ask, why do you speak to your best friend? It's the same with God and I. I talk to God because he's my best friend. And I want to share things with my best friend. I want to tell him how my day's been, the good bits and the bad bits and the sad bits. I want to let him know my worries and concerns. I want to thank him for helping me. I want to ask advice about things that I'm not sure about what to do. I want to tell him what's coming up that I might need some help with. I want to thank him for being with me through the good times, the difficult times, the tough times. And I want to thank him for the help that he gives me. I want to thank him for loving me so much, even though I don't deserve it. And I want to say sorry for when I get things wrong and ask his forgiveness, because I know he delights in helping me get better. I love to talk to God when I'm outside walking in creation. I just feel really close to God then. Sometimes I just walk as if he's walking with me, and we don't need to say anything because we're in each other's company and we just enjoy being together. Other times I'll chatter along to him as I'm walking and saying, oh, look, there's a lovely bird over there, or a beautiful flower, or look at the formation of the clouds, and aren't you such a wonderful person to have created all this amazing creation? I share funny things with God when funny things happen, a bit like you tell your friend a joke. I do that too. Sometimes I just like to sit and be with God. A bit like with your friends. You can sit together and you don't necessarily have to say anything. You just like being in each other's company. No words are needed. Prayer for me is like just talking to someone who knows me inside out, knows me better than I know myself. And he knows all about me, the good bits, the bad bits, the ugly bits, but just loves me all the same, even though I don't deserve it, but actually wants me to grow closer and closer to be more like Jesus. So I hope that by spending time with God, all the good bits about God rub off on me and I grow to be a better person, more loving, more caring. But I don't stop talking to him. Sometimes it's a quick word, other times it's a very long conversation. So I hope you too grow in your prayer life and enjoy talking to God too. If you have any more questions, don't hesitate to ask, and I'll try and answer them as best as I can. Bye for now. Have a great day, and what a good question.
Now, today, we are looking closely at Hannah from the Bible. Hannah's prayer. And if you remember, she was the mother of Samuel. But in the beginning, she was very sad. And we're going to find out today why she prayed to God. As Karen mentioned in the video, there are many reasons to pray. And sometimes we ask God for things that are very important to us. And Hannah was just like that. And what she wanted more than anything else in the world was a child of her own. Unfortunately, in the times in which she lived, people who couldn't have children, being childless, made women feel very isolated and alone. She was part of a family in which she was not the only wife. Her husband, Elkanah, also had a wife called Peninnah, and Peninnah had children of her own. Sadly, she teased Hannah because she was childless and made her life quite unpleasant. But Hannah's turned her deep sadness into a powerful prayer. Instead of keeping her feelings hidden inside, she took them to God. She knew that God cared about her and would listen to her heart and what she wanted. Each year, they would go to the tabernacle in Shiloh, or Shiloh, as we were told it was pronounced when we went, to pray. I don't know if you can, if you've got the picture, Brenda. The tabernacle, did I? It's okay. The tabernacle was not like we think of the temple. It was we actually saw a mock-up of it when we went to Shiloh, didn't we, Jean? They would go up to the tabernacle and would pray to God. But women at those times were not allowed inside the temple, so she could just stand nearby, and the husbands would be there. And we're just going to see a video clip now of what happened when Hannah and Elkanah went up to the temple to pray. Stopping and starting. Read out of the Bible if nothing fails. What else fails? I might just have to read it.
He will serve you all of his life. A priest named Eli sat nearby and...
Yeah, that's halfway through.
In a land called Ephraim, a man named Elkanah lived with his wife Hannah. Hannah was sad because she really wanted children, but she didn't have any. Every year, Elkanah went to the tabernacle to make sacrifices to God and to worship him. Hannah went with him. She prayed, "Lord, if you give me a son, I will dedicate him to you, he will serve you all of his life. A priest named Eli sat nearby and watched Hannah pray. He couldn't hear her, but he saw her lips moving. Eli thought something was wrong with Hannah. "I've been pouring out my heart before the Lord," she explained. So Eli replied, "Go in peace. May God answer your prayers." Hannah and Elkanah returned home, and God answered her prayers. After some time, Hannah gave birth to a son. She named the baby Samuel. When Samuel was a little older, Hannah took him to Eli at the tabernacle. "God answered my prayers," she said. Hannah pledged Samuel to serve God, and she worshiped God. Then Hannah went back home and left Samuel with Eli to serve God. Every year, Hannah returned with a new robe for Samuel. God gave Hannah many more children, too.
Thank you. Let us pray. Dear Lord, thank you that through Hannah's story, you show us how you listen to every word we say to you. It's amazing how we can be completely honest with you about our feelings and that you care deeply for us. We give you thanks for all you have given us, our health, our homes, our family, our friends. In Jesus' name, amen.
If the technology behaves itself. We're going to come now to what are the outcomes of prayer. Now, Hannah's prayer was full of emotion. It was honest. She shared all her feelings with God. It didn't matter whether she was in tears, whether she was actually making sense with what she was saying, but she came humbly to God and made her heartfelt request that she could have a child of her own. Hannah also did something very brave. Can you imagine feeling you desperately want a child, but then you promise God you're going to give that child to serve God? You heard her request, and it was answered, and she kept her promise to God. We do know, though, that God blessed her with many more children. As I reflect back on my own prayer life, it makes me think of these. At times, we may get a red light, and that means a definite no. It may be that it's not in our best interests, or it may even, by answering our prayer, impact on someone else or another situation that we know nothing about, but that God does. Or it may lead us into a situation that is not good for us. It's not in our best interests. The answer may also come from somebody else that might be involved in your prayer. Or you may feel that a door's closed, and no matter how many prayers you push to try and open that door, it remains closed. When I know the answer is a red light, it's time to let go. To let go of that prayer and move on, even if it is reluctantly. I usually find that most answers that come the quickest are the red or the green lights. There have been times when the traffic... A green light always makes you feel very positive because you think, yes, it's been answered, and it strengthens your faith. And you're encouraged to press on with your prayers. Do you all feel like that sometimes when you get an answer to prayer? Yes. But there have been times too when the traffic light response to our prayers is orange or amber. Okay. It's a time of waiting. And as we talked about in Advent, it's not really easy to wait, is it? We either are waiting for an answer, it might be a not yet, or for whatever reason, the time isn't right. But because it's not red, we keep on praying that prayer or we keep on waiting on God. And it's at these orange times that we really need to wait until the light changes and our trust in our Lord knows what's best for us, so that his timing is perfect. So as long as we keep trusting and have faith, then it may finally go to green, or it may change to red. But you know, also in that orange period, God may actually be waiting for us. Sometimes people come to me and they say, I just don't know what I'm supposed to do. There's this way I could go, or there's this way I could go. Both ways actually lead to good things. And have you ever thought, actually, God wants you to choose? What do you want to do? What will bring you joy? Because whatever you choose, I'll work with it. So it may be that you take a step of faith down one route if you feel that both ways could be equally good. So there's also that time where God may be waiting for us to make a decision. But what about those really difficult times when we just don't seem to get a response? Sometimes we feel that our prayers are not heard or not being answered. And it's a bit like this. We're stuck. We feel like we may be in a traffic jam. Sometimes we can see what the problem is further down. Other times, like the M6 car park, you can be sat there for hours waiting and not know what's going on. And then all of a sudden, everything seems to move and you're flying along again. But these are the difficult times. We're stationary. We can't seem to move forward or move backwards. We're stuck. But, you know, there will always be these mysteries, these unknown times in our prayer lives, in our lives. We will all encounter them. And this is where our faith and trust in Jesus comes in. It's hard to live with this when we don't understand why our prayer hasn't been answered. But when this happens, I fall back on God. I know that God loves me. I know that he knows me inside out. And I know he wants the best for me, even if I don't understand why I can't have that one thing. But it's much easier to bear when you know the comfort of God's love. I was like Hannah and prayed really hard for a long time, and some of you will remember, to have a child of my own. But it just didn't happen. There was also another couple at the same time in the same situation praying for a child. Their prayer was answered and our prayer wasn't. The thing was, I shared my disappointment with someone and I was told, you're just not praying hard enough. But I have been blessed in so many other ways, despite not having that prayer answered. And as Christians, we need to be very, very careful that we don't judge other people. Our job is not the Lord's job. It's his job to judge. It's his job to prompt. Our job is to build one another up with our words of encouragement and love. And this is why it's really good to have prayer partners or triplets or groups, so that you can share the prayer. You can pray for each other. You can encourage one another and you can build one another up. And the next one, please. Prayer is like a muscle. The more you work it, the stronger it gets. Our prayers are like exercising our faith and they need constant work. Remember, you don't always need words. Silences, tears, other emotions are all acts of prayer and are conversations with God our Father, Jesus our brother and our Saviour, and the Holy Spirit who intercedes for us in our prayers. Psalm 55 verse 22 says, "Cast all your cares on the Lord, for he will sustain you." So tell God your deepest desires and wishes, and your sadnesses, and your joys. God wants you to talk to him about everything in your life and on your heart. Even if we can't feel hope, it's an act of faith, as we know God will hear us and understands us. Now, Diane's going to lead us in our prayer of confession. Thank you.
Lord Jesus, forgive us when we don't talk to you and even ignore your presence with us. Forgive us when we pray selfishly for our needs and wants, neglecting others. Please help us to have patience as we wait for your answers, trusting that you know what's best for us. Teach us to bring our worries, joys, and everything in between to you in prayer, just like Hannah did. In Jesus' name we pray. Amen. And now we sing together, Father, I place into your hands the things I cannot do.
Next question, what am I praying for? Now, I want you to think just for a couple of minutes, who or what are your top priorities in your prayers? Just think for a moment. Okay, you know what they are? Well, as we listen to the news each day, thank you, Brenda. Sorry, she can't even take a drink. So as we listen to the news each day, places which would have taken weeks or hours to reach are brought into our living rooms or on our radios in seconds. We often hear that the world is shrinking. And now with technology, we need not be separated from loved ones far afield in lots of other countries all over the world. But there's also a flip side, because the place has now become a global village, as that often saying, okay. But the flip side of this global village is that we can't ignore what's going on in other places all over the world, or what's happening to the natural world across the globe. And I mean, that's rife at the moment, isn't it? And we're experiencing it even now. As our world gets smaller, we need our minds and our hearts and our prayers to expand and grow beyond our immediate neighbourhood, and to plug into the power of prayer. I love the story of Hannah. Her longing is so deep that she takes it to the Lord in prayer. And having been given the gift of a child, she gifts him back to God. Yet I'm sure that every day she prayed for her son Samuel and would consider how much he'd grown in that year. And we know this because each year she went to the tabernacle and took along a new coat for him. See all the different sizes as he's growing? And this reminds me that we all need to grow into new spiritual and mental clothes during each year. One of my favourite Christian authors, Margaret Silf, I don't know how many of you have read of any of her books, but they are really powerful. She suggests that every time a bit more of the world, its people and their concerns come to our attention, Our mindsets have to grow to respond to the new challenges that come with them. This is tricky, as it's hard to respond to tomorrow's problems using yesterday's mindsets. The world is changing so quickly. However, God waits patiently for us with each new coat for us to grow into. He waits until we're ready to fit that new coat. This does mean, though, that we need to let go of our previous mindsets, which we've outgrown, a process which isn't always easy. Prayer is powerful, even though we may not necessarily see the results of our prayers. God knows and acts. Diane mentioned that the Methodist prayer handbooks, you know, have come out. And do you know, on day 10 of every month, everybody that has a Methodist prayer handbook is praying for the Channel Islands. And sometimes you'll find prayers from within the Channel Islands on that day. So if you haven't had one, do have a look at them. When I was in Australia and I met two preachers on Easter Sunday, I said, could I take a photo of them with their, because they'd got a beautiful Easter decorated cross lying down, which was different for me. And I said, and do you know, each, whatever day it was, we pray for the Uniting Church in Australia. And they were so taken with this, and I asked their permission. So I don't know if it'll go in next year's prayer handbook, but we'll see. So it's powerful. We don't know how our prayers impact, but God does. We just need to pray. There's many remarkable stories of answers to prayer in each of our lives. And I wonder how many of them have we actually shared with others to encourage and inspire them. It's important to do this to build one another up. Well, we're going to now have a short time of reflection, and this is where I'd like you to take your praying hands, if you haven't already cut one out, or just hold the picture in front of you. Take them as your praying hands. I'll take out mine at the same time. And I want you to consider, having thought about what you have been praying for, now I want you to prayerfully open your hearts and minds and let the Holy Spirit lay on your heart, what do I need to pray for? Rather than what am I praying for, what do I need to pray for? To pray the music, Brenda. And this is the overarching question I'd like you to think about this coming week. So as you take your prayer hands home with you, please, and either put them on the fridge or put them where you have your prayers, your quiet time, to remind you, what do I need to pray for, as opposed to what your world, so that it gets bigger, okay, and expands. So this is our first introduction to powerful prayer. So let's just recap. Powerful prayer consists of honesty and emotional energy. Both are needed. Words, tears, groans, silences are all prayer and acceptable. And the importance of praying with and for others, and how we need to be growing and expanding our prayer lives in lots of different ways. And there's an event coming up that if anybody's interested in expanding their prayer lives, have a chat to me and I'll tell you about it. So, Psalm 62, verse 8, to finish with. Trust in him at all times, you people. Pour out your hearts to him, for God is our refuge. Now, Diane's going to lead us in our prayers of intercession. And can I say thank you to Diane? It's been a joy to work with you on this service.
Let us pray. We bring to you our prayers for the world, our island, and ourselves. We remember the conflicts all over the world. In Sudan, Somalia, Ukraine, the ongoing conflict in the Middle East, and so many other places, Lord. We thank you for the recent release of hostages from Gaza, 3 last week and 4 female soldiers yesterday. But we continue to pray for the 87 remaining hostages, alive or dead, that they may be restored to their families soon. As Holocaust Memorial Day approaches, we realize that though living memory of the Holocaust is fading, we pray that the lessons of history will not be ignored. Let us offer your light in the darkness of prejudice and ignorance. Closer to home, Lord, we remember those who have been affected by Storm Eowyn, which has swept through Northern Ireland and Scotland, Northern England. We pray for all those whose homes have been damaged and for the many who are without power. We pray especially for the housebound and elderly, that they will be cared for by neighbours and relatives. For ourselves, we remember today those we know who are going through illness, bereavement, or life-changing events. We name them in our hearts. Even though we feel small and insignificant, the good news is for us to share. Even though the need around us is great, even though the gifts we offer seem inadequate, we know that prayer is powerful. So with confidence, we join in the prayer that Jesus taught us. Our Father, who art in heaven, hallowed be thy name. Thy kingdom come, thy will be done, on earth as it is in heaven. Give us this day our daily bread, and forgive us our trespasses, as we forgive those who trespass against us. And lead us not into temptation, but deliver us from evil. For thine is the kingdom, the power, and the glory, forever and ever. Amen. And we finish by singing, What a Friend We Have in Jesus.
May you and all you pray for know the power of prayer. Go, watch, listen, and pray. Amen.
Amen.
We share the grace and bless one another. May the grace of our Lord Jesus Christ, and the love of God, and the fellowship of the Holy Spirit be with us all evermore, evermore.
Amen. Amen.
And can I just say, I'm sorry, I forgot you do it that way. So we're going to do it one more time.
You can stand round the edge near the radiator.
Are you all?
My hands are freezing, sorry.
So are mine.
I got just colder as and you can sure you put your coat on, I should. Okay, are we ready? Their own little groups.
You can
there.
Make a little circle
yeah,
there.
Make a circle,
make a little circle
you are.
There, Doreen and Wilma. That's it. Okay, let's start again.
May the grace of our Lord Jesus Christ and the love of God and the fellowship of the Holy Spirit be with us all now and forever. Amen.
Oh dear.
The forest every time.